How you guys doing? Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to the Nick Wilson Show.
Sounds like a typical bastard.
In Nick Wilson's mind?
My mind is a raging torrent flooded with rivulets of thought.
You're about to find out.
Look who knows so much.
Nick Wilson is on now.
It's Radio 92.7 FNZ. Willie P here with you. It is just afternoon at the Charlotte Touchdown Club, Sheraton, Charlotte. That was a real fun interview with Marshall Faulk. Got a lot of NFL history involved with him. Greatest show on turf. Also talked about Dick Vermeil going into the Hall of Fame this year as part of this year's class of 2022 in Canton. Although it did strike me funny that Vermeil said he's going in as a Philadelphia Eagle. Though, again, they don't really do that in the NFL like they do in baseball, where they put you a guy with a cap on there. He'll certainly, I'm sure, acknowledge his time in St. Louis as a Super Bowl champion. But a lot to get to on the show today. We've talked a lot of draft. We've talked a lot about the National Football League, Bruton Smith as well. But certainly the big focus right now is the NBA draft, which is tonight. 8 o'clock is when our coverage begins right here on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ with Kyle Bailey. It is there where we start our usual noon segment since I've been in here with for Nick, and that is the Nooners starting today. It is NBA draft night. Draft coming up tonight for Charlotte is at 13 and 15. We've had a lot of different suppositions as to what the Hornets need to do to get themselves at least improved in their own sense. DeShaun Tate on whether or not the Hornets should consider shopping first-round picks to gain a veteran presence.
So I would definitely take a strong look at maybe from a shopping standpoint to maybe try and get some veteran leadership amongst some other things. But I think first things first, more than anything, is in the event that you are going to take a player on tomorrow in the next 24 hours, you do so by going after the front court first.
And I do understand that there are different ways to fill a need if you're the Charlotte Hornets right now, but the biggest thing they need right now is they need rotation help. And that's the part of it that I find somewhat galling when I hear people say I want them to take players. I want them to get rotation help. And there are a lot of people who are coming out, and this is from Ray, who says, Mitch Kupchak has and will continue to do a quality job of putting together a competent roster. So glad he doesn't follow the advice of prognosticators who don't really have a dog in the fight. What do you mean I don't have a dog in the fight? What does that mean, Ray? Like, I'm sorry. I need this team to be more competitive than a play-in ouster. I need this team to not get blown out on a night-in, night-out basis. I need this team to get themselves towards something, some word of progress. Like, is that not happening? Is that, if you feel like that's happening, if you feel like the progress is being made, please show me where that progress is coming from, because quite honestly, I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it right now. Am I being unfair? Anybody fitty?
Well, I mean, they did improve their win total by 10 games from last year or from the previous year to this year. They took a step in the right direction. It wasn't their fault the East was as deep as it's been in 20 years. What was their fault was them getting blown out for a second consecutive time in the play-in game. But yeah, no, this team had made progress the last 2 years under James Borrego and the vision that Mitch Kupchak was putting together.
I'm not saying that, yes, they've gotten better, but I do feel like getting to the same level and not going forward is not progress. And I'm saying that as somebody who wanted James Borrego. I'm saying who wanted James Borrego staying. I mean, it is what it is. But Spence says, Willie, did you see the Boston games where Robert Williams did not play? They couldn't win without him. That's the difference that Miles Turner would make with the Hornets. Go and get him. I'm with you. The Gordon Hayward, Miles Turner thing, I'm all for. Don't know why that wouldn't be something that you wouldn't want to entertain. But we'll get into it more as we go throughout the show here on Sports Radio FNZ. Elsewhere in the Nooners, the NFL dealing with a bit of a mega mess right now. A lot of different things going on in terms of their public image. But most importantly, Roger Goodell yesterday spending time in front of Congress testifying in front of the House Oversight Committee on the sham investigation being conducted by the Washington Commanders organization into their misgivings and sexual allegations results against employees of that organization, against other employees, and how Daniel Snyder basically tried to clean it all up, but also have like a hush-hush shadow investigation under a supervision that basically did not give really any credence. And because of that, the commanders right now have basically put Snyder back in the driver's seat after he was quote-unquote supposed to be suspended. So in my view, they've got that mess on their hands and the Deshaun Watson mess on their hands, and not really serving the public in the public eye in terms of what I could see. We also found out yesterday that we lost a legend in the world of NASCAR, and that is Bruton Smith, who passed away at the age of 95. He is somebody who, if you are a Charlotte-based NASCAR fan of any type of age, you've had an impact from Bruton Smith, not just because he was the owner of Charlotte Motor Speedway, not just because he was founder and owner of Speedway Motorsports, but lots of also charitable initiatives and other things that have helped grow the sport of NASCAR and grow motorsports in general in this state, in this city, and most importantly, this region and the world. And as a result, his passing is remembered very fondly by a lot of people today, including Doug Rice, who from the Performance Racing Network joined Mack and Bone earlier this morning and asked what it was like to work underneath Bruton Smith's tutelage.
He was an interesting man. I mean, it's nice in a lot of ways to work for somebody that's almost bigger than life. And I think that's a fair description of Bruton. He walked in the room, and he commanded the attention. Not because he said, look at me, but because you knew that at that time he was the decision maker.
And because of that, I do feel like, you know, a lot of people, you know, if you are a dyed-in-the-wool NASCAR fan, you know who that man is. Others who have come at it from a casual sense might not have known him, but if you didn't know him personally, you definitely know what his impacts brought to the table, and you've consumed part of his product in a way that I feel like has made the sport grow for the greater good. And we're very, very happy that a lot of the great stories are coming out from Bruton Smith, like people from Doug Rice. We're going to talk with Adam Alexander later on in the program, coming up at 1:20, on just what kind of impact he had on Adam's career and the sport of NASCAR as a whole. It is also possibly an opportunity for us to see the conclusion of the Stanley Cup Final coming up tomorrow, as Colorado got a big 3-2 victory in the Stanley Cup Final last night over Tampa Bay in overtime, the second overtime game of the series. Did you see itty-bitty-fitty that John Cooper was whining and moaning last night that Colorado had too many men on the ice?
I did not, because I don't pay attention to an irrelevant sport such as hockey.
What? You just – come on, dude. You were paying attention last year when the Islanders were in the final.
Only just so I could talk to Flounder about the team that I quote unquote support was still playing. I wasn't watching.
I thought you were invested in this because you wanted to see Tampa Bay win the Stanley Cup because you wanted to throw it in Flounder's face.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna sit there and watch it. Hockey bores me. Why do I want to watch something that bores me?
This is where you're out of your depth right now. Like, come on. You're completely out of sorts right now. Are you trying to start stuff right now? Is that what you're trying to do?
No, I'm just being dead serious. Like, hockey is just not a sport that I pay attention to.
Well, the ironic thing about what John Cooper said is that he actually had too many men on the ice for his team, not only in that position, but also in a particular goal that happened in the decisive game last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I find the ironic karma very rich from John Cooper's own mouth. That is the Nooners, or those are the Nooners, for the 23rd day of June 2022. We'll get back into the draft, talk about a lot of the different prospects that are off of the beaten path, people outside of Mark Williams and Sohan and others that could end up on the Hornets if they end up making those picks tonight. It is the Nick Wilson Show, live from the Sheraton Charlotte at the Charlotte Touchdown Club. Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Big news in the college football recruiting world. Arch Manning committing to the University of Texas. Number one recruit in the country, class of 2023, five-star quarterback. I think you know his pedigree. But he commits to Texas over interest from Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, basically anybody else under the sun. And, wow. Does that one shock you a little bit?
No, I mean, I felt like Texas was going to be a major player for, you know, from the word go. They still are Texas. And, I mean, Sarkisian's got to find something to kind of get his program going there in Austin.
But that's a big leap.
I wanted him in Ole Miss, but I think ultimately the biggest question he would probably had is Lane Kiffin still going to be in Ole Miss, or will Lane have already moved on?
I was going to say, who would his head coach be for his entire time there?
But you put him in that offense, that would have been a lot of fun to watch. And, I mean, regardless, we'll still get to see him in the SEC. It's just how competitive is Texas going to be when they merge into the SEC after leaving the Big 12.
Now, of course, this asks this begs the almighty question: is Texas back? I mean, because that's the question we always ask when something like this happens.
Yeah, no, Texas isn't back until they're in the playoff, right? Because they made a New Year's Six bowl game, and then the next year was like 8-4, mm-hmm. and Herman got fired or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So until they make the playoff, they ain't back.
So do you remember that game where they played Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah.
I was at that game.
I fell in love with Shane Buechele because his story is one of the best stories in the history of college sports.
So I was at that game. I was on the field. I filmed the play where Swoops goes in the end zone to win the game in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was in the I was in the fray there with Charlie Strong getting lifted up off the field and whatnot, getting the Rudy-esque carry off the field moment. And I fell for it. Everybody else fell for it during that time. And he got fired literally with like three games left to go in the season. So I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to – that was the last moment where I was like, I am not going to believe the is Texas back hype ever again. Because – and you can ask our old boss this. You know, for a squad that has won a college football title in our lifetime, a lot of it's been underwhelming outside of that. So it is what it is. And that's somebody who, you know, is a big, big fan of that. So it is what it is. Chad Harris also asking about if the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup after the Nuggets in the playoffs and the Rams in the Super Bowl, is it arguable that Stan Kroenke is the greatest sports owner in the world? No, because he owns Arsenal, and Arsenal is worse. So there you go. That's my answer, Chad Harris, because he was trying to get me to say something nice about his beloved football club. I am not going there. I am not doing that. Not today, Satan. Anyway, the Charlotte Hornets tonight in the NBA draft pick 13th and 15th. Our coverage on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ begins at 8 o'clock. Kyle Bailey live from Spectrum Center covering that all for us. We've been talking a lot about Mark Williams. He's garnered a lot of room on our program today. Mark actually spoke with the media last month during his workouts for the Charlotte Hornets, and he was asked who he believes he models his game after.
You know, being that athletic, mobile big that can, you know, catch lobs and protect the rim, I feel like I can bring that immediately no matter where I am. You know, a player that I feel like, at least in the playoffs, especially, it's a guy like Robert Williams. You know, he does stuff like that. Obviously, he's battling in the injury right now, but, you know, that's a guy that, you know, plays hard on defense, can catch lobs, runs the floor, does a little bit of everything for him.
So if Robert Williams is somebody who is the actual comp for Mark Williams, that turns this into a very, very good pick for the Charlotte Hornets. The question is, these comps never usually break out the way that you feel like they're going to. Like how often do we ever see a guy actually live up to that comp? And the other question is, how long is it going to take for him to get to that comparative level? And also, and something you brought up too, Itty Bitty Fitty, that I want to at least recognize and acknowledge is that the Hornets had a developmental head coach in James Borrego. They were going to hire another developmental coach in Kenny Atkinson. If they do not hire another one with Mike D'Antoni, how does that
affect the development of somebody like Mark Williams or whoever the Hornets might take in the draft coming up this evening.
It definitely does play a role into it. And if you're drafting Mark Williams with the idea in mind you're hiring Mike D'Antoni to be your next head coach, does he fit the system that Mike D'Antoni wants to play? My eyes would tell me no. He doesn't need to play in an offense that's up and down. Now, he can set a lot of good pick and rolls for you, but in terms of having that type of conditioning, you didn't have it at Duke. And he's a, you know, he's going to be a guy that, like, if his ceiling is Robert Williams, that's a really good ceiling. Here's my problem with that comparison. Robert Williams can defend on the perimeter. I saw Mark Williams on the perimeter in the Final Four. It didn't end very well for that guy. So
no,
that's going to be the biggest issue with him. But there's a lot of reason why the Hornets have been linked to him from the beginning, because he fixes a lot of their immediate needs, whether he is a starting rookie center in the NBA or he's coming off the bench. And that ability to hit that 17-foot jump shot, those big guys have to have it in today's pro basketball. He already has that. So the offensive upside is there as well. So there's a lot of reason to believe he will be the first and maybe only pick the Hornets make tonight at 13 or 15.
Now, it is obviously a lot of other things that could happen over the course of this evening. Agbaji out of Kansas is somebody who has been linked to the Hornets also as a result of the draft. Here's Seth Greenberg, who spoke on the Mac Attack about the player out of KU.
I look at him like I looked at Jalen Brunson a little bit. You know, I look at him like I looked at Malcolm Brogdon a little bit. Yeah. What's wrong with being he's a world-class shooter. He's got a little bit, I'm not saying he is, but he's got a little Ray Allen in this game. Quick release. If you remember that Texas Tech game where he came off that rescreen and got it off in 2 seconds. Deep range, runs the court consistently, can obviously space the court, got better, a little bit better at driving it, more of a straight-line driver. Not as elusive of his handle, but I think he is, again, you know exactly who he is.
The only thing I don't like about Agbaji, Fitty, is that I don't look at him and I don't see a quote-unquote special characteristic. I feel like he's got a lot of good characteristics, and I think AJ Griffin kind of fits in that same mold. He's got a lot of good things, but I feel like if you're drafting it at where the Hornets are, you're wanting to try and draft somebody who is special, and I don't know if I'm getting a special player if I'm getting Ochai Agbaji.
Well, what you're going to get in him is a guy who's a veteran. I think he's 22, maybe even 23 by the time the NBA season gets underway. So he's played a lot of basketball. And Bill Self said he was the most accomplished player at Kansas since Danny Manning, who led his team to the national title in 1988. That's a lot of high praise. Whether I agree with that or not, it's a different conversation. But So this guy can play and play the game at a high level. And at the worst case scenario, he's going to be your first or second guy off the bench. And that's not a bad thing, because as you were talking about earlier, the Hornets still need to add to their rotation. And he's a guy that who could slide right in and would be, in my opinion, in a better position as a rookie to make a more immediate impact than James Bouknight did last season.
But here's the thing. If his ceiling is, you know, bench player, and maybe that's just his ceiling this season, maybe he could develop into an NBA starter. If he's, for example, your second pick, if I can package that second pick with a current player and add a starter that could better this team, like if for example, that deal that was involved from Evan Massey a couple days ago that had Miles Turner rumored to be coming to the Hornets along with other pieces, along with that 15th pick and Gordon Hayward going back to Indiana, I'd rather have Miles Turner than Ochai Agbaji, personally.
Oh yeah, there's no logical scenario where Ochai Agbaji stands in the way of you making a move for Miles Turner, for Rudy Gobert, et cetera. But if you're not making a move for that veteran player tonight or in the near future and you take him at 15, I'm not going to complain a whole lot, because I do feel like he would be an immediate upgrade to a bench rotation that needs a lot more than just Kelly Oubre coming off the bench next season.
The Tate's Take podcast is where our friend Deshaun Tate works. He joined our program yesterday, and he knows about as much college basketball as anybody Fitty does. Is that better? Is that better for you, Mr. I'm always in need of praise?
That's what I expect more out of you, William Eugene. Yes.
Is that okay? So your sensitivities have now been satisfied, Mister. I don't think that I praise itty bitty fitty enough.
Only thing I'm missing now is my bowl of shrimp and grits.
The fact that I'm on remote today is probably the only reason why you don't have shrimp and grits in your hand. Although I might eat the rest of the leftovers tonight, so you might be what we call back in the old days SOL. Unfortunately, who knows? There's always more where that came from, though. We'll make it happen. But Deshaun Tate yesterday on the program told us kind of some of the other sleepers that he might be looking at for the Hornets if they do not go the route of Mark Williams at 13 or 15.
And Blake Wesley could potentially be a really good pick for them as a freshman out of Notre Dame. Probably surprised everybody, even myself, who I feel like watches more college basketball than about anybody in the world. I think that wouldn't necessarily be terrible. Maybe an A.J. Griffin is there if you need some help in the backcourt. A guy who can really shoot the air out of the basketball. He's got some issues from an injury standpoint in the past and, a lateral movement and things like that. But I still think that he's one of the best draft prospects out there in terms of a guard. And everybody knows that this NBA can use shooters.
So there are a lot of different people who have looked over these mock drafts. You know, I saw a couple that involved Tari Eason, the LSU sophomore, who brings a lot of size. It would bring more size than a PJ and a Miles, but I do feel like you still have to retain Miles, and we've been talking a lot about that. Same thing goes for Sohan. But it does seem like for the one, I think, commonality for a lot of these people is they all feel like Mark Williams and Charlotte are basically a fait accompli at this point. Would you be shocked if Mark Williams is not a Charlotte Hornet tonight, anybody fitting?
As of right now, yes, because I do feel like that's the guy that they're trending to. They've been linked to from the very beginning, but I'm also the opinion that if they're going to make a move for another big man, I'm not drafting another big man. So if they trade for Miles Turner and they go a different route, an Ochai Agbaji, a Jeremy Sohan, then in that scenario, I would not be surprised.
How do you feel about Jang, the guy out of France? Because he was I just saw a mock about a couple minutes ago that had the Hornets linked with him.
Yeah, it comes back to the whole philosophy of the organization moving forward. You just fired a developmental coach. You tried to rehire a developmental coach. So if you're bringing in another guy like that, it makes a lot of sense. If you're hiring a Mike D'Antoni, a Terry Stotts, a Steve Clifford, that idea here in Charlotte doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We're seeing basically a lot of the folks who are out there on the mock drafts. The top three is basically a consensus between Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero. From what we understand, the order is Magic Smith, the Thunder with Holmgren, and then the Houston Rockets getting Banchero. How do you feel like Banchero fits in that Rockets scenario? Just because I feel like that's one where it's an organization that is trying to turn the corner and go around the other way, but I still think that they're a long way away.
Him with, alongside Green in that backcourt, they could have a nice dynamic 1-2 punch, and that could further excel their rebuild. Banchero's the best one-on-one player in this draft. And the NBA is all about isolation and can you get your own, trying to get your own bucket. He can do that. You put them with an already proven dynamic score as well, they'll at least be a fun team to watch.
I think they will. I mean, again, it'll be fun to watch, but again, I think it could have some growing pains in terms of the way that they go about doing things. We also talked about the potential for the Hornets to trade up to 6, package the 2 picks and another player to get up to where, say, you know, Detroit and or the Indiana Pacers are at 5 and 6. Plenty to get to on the draft boards. We'll continue to break it down throughout the afternoon and evening as well on Sports Radio 927 FNZ. We'll come back with the 5 questions as we continue from the Charlotte Sheraton Hotel at the Charlotte Touchdown Club. Marshall Falk currently speaking to the folks inside right now. It is Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Yeah, you got to talk to me when I want to go on the air, pal. It's all good. I will say this. I'll offer you an opportunity. How do you feel about being a guinea pig the first time I try ribs on the new Traeger?
First off, why are you taking shots at me?
I'm not.
I told you when you when your mic was hot. You have the thing in your ear when we're coming back from break.
I'm good.
But since I have no shrimp and grits in hand, I want the invitation. I want to be over at the La Casa, and whenever you take the first slab of rib off, you and I, not on the same rib, but simultaneously tasting your meat cooking.
You do realize that Julianne has first priority for that. You realize that.
Is she more important than the guy that makes you sound good on the air?
Yes, because I have to deal with her a lot longer than I have to deal with you.
Okay. Well, I'll remember that when I'm up here on Saturday for the Charlotte FC game and I just don't cut your mic on at the time that I know a goal is about to be scored. And Jessica Charman, like, I just somehow, like, rigged the mic to where your mic doesn't work. And that way Jessica Charman gets all the glory for calling the goal.
Did I say you were unimportant? I didn't say you were unimportant. I just said that you know, she can birth me a child. You can't. There's certain anatomical things that she can do that you can't. There's never calling you unimportant.
I'm just trying to get you to divorce before you even get married. That's all.
Shaquette Bartel, by the way, wants you and I to coach the Hornets.
That, you see, now that wouldn't be a bad idea. My basketball acumen is probably the second highest in this city behind the legendary Jerry V. There would be some subtle changes.
You were all over Jerry V this morning, by the way. You were trying to intonate that you were getting somewhat, you know, it moved when you were talking, when you heard Jerry V talking on the air this morning.
It also stood up. So there you go. But yes, I love Jerry V. I love that there's at least one guy in the city that we can bring on that can talk basketball to half of my level. Cause I do. I mean, I'm the basketball aficionado per Nick Wilson.
Oh, is that a fact?
He labeled me the basketball aficionado. I mean, I guess Jerry V's the basketball godfather, if you will.
I have a fourth grade undefeated season and championship to my name that I could boast to be a part of that job. Does that hold any clout for you or no?
No. It holds absolutely zero clout for me.
I averaged 0.7 points per contest.
That's still higher than what Skip Bayless averaged in high school.
By the way, there's this real quick from Josita Anderson. She says, I'm told there have been recent attempts by the NFL, the NFLPA, and Deshaun Watson's advisors to negotiate a discipline settlement. However, talks involving potential number of games missed, quote, fell apart, not being on the same page. As of now, the process moves forward, per league sources. So basically, involving what we were talking about before, this whole basically trying to prevent a situation where the NFLPA has to ask for less games. They're basically trying to come to a almost negotiable settlement, if you will. But apparently Deshaun Watson does not like the number that the NFL likes. And so he's basically saying, look, you know, I'm not going to agree to a settlement if you give me more than I feel like I deserve. Which tells me, itty bitty fitty, they want to suspend him for a year, right?
Let's hope that's the number. Let's hope he's not complaining about, you know, an 8-game suspension, a 6-game suspension. I just feel like he'll miss 12 games. I think they'll suspend him for a year. It'll get reduced to 12, and he'll come back in December and lead the Browns maybe into the playoffs, or if not, jump starting what could be a special year for him in Cleveland 2 years from now.
Could be interesting to see how that goes about playing out for him and them. But before we do anything, as we go throughout the show, we will continue to bat around the questions that you might have for us with 5 questions on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Itty Bitty Fitty, what's first up?
I never got your list of questions.
You never got my list of questions?
Nope.
Oh.
So you tell me what's first up.
I will tell you the first up here. I thought you were in the rundown and you had them in front of you, but I guess not. The first question is, what do the Hornets do tonight? And I feel like they have to make a deal tonight. I feel like they have to make a deal tonight. I don't feel like it's a situation where you can sit here and take 13 and 15. Mitch Kupchak has said the roster is too cluttered to take on more players. They've got a lot of log down at Greensboro as well. To me, I feel like the Hornets make one and trade one tonight. How do you feel?
I think I think they make one and trade one. I do think they'll make a move, or they'll make the move for Miles Turner. They'll get Gordon Hayward's salary off of their books, which would make
me ecstatic.
Yeah, which would be a step in the right direction. Then if you can move Terry Rozier's salary, then you really did a lot of work this offseason. But so I think they'll make a move, and then they'll make the second pick. But I do think that if they make the move for Miles Turner, they draft a wing and not a big.
Interesting. Because I think that they could end up standing to do both. But it is what it is when it comes to the Hornets. We'll see what they end up doing this evening. More on that coming up at 1 o'clock. There's been a video that's circulating around of two gentlemen on Bird scooters in Charlotte trying to find LaMelo Ball inside his parking lot. And instead, they found Michael Jordan. Michael was appreciably rude to these people. I wouldn't necessarily blame him, because I think anybody on those Bird scooters, to me, the Bird scooters are chotch. Fair or foul?
Yeah, no, extremely chotch.
But what was your worst interaction with a professional athlete?
I don't think I've ever had one, to be honest with you. Not a professional athlete, because I haven't been around many. To be really honest with you, like, I covered the Coke 600 a few weeks ago, and I was up close with Kyle Busch, but I made sure not to do anything to have a bad experience with Kyle Busch. So I've never had a bad experience with a professional athlete.
Again, the worst one, I told the story earlier in the week, the he shall be named nameless old Met reliever Rick White. basically, I was ripping him to shreds while he was signing autographs, saying, if you don't sign, we're going to rip you from the Loge level at Shea Stadium. And he literally got up to me, pointed at me, and he said no when I had my ball waiting for him to be signed. And let's just say he got into the game later on, and we ripped him to shreds.
he probably got ripped to shreds.
He is somebody who had a nondescript Major League Baseball career. Is Roger Goodell the worst commissioner in sports?
No. He's not. He's the second best. There's a gap between him and Adam Silver, but he's not as bad as Rob Manfred, who called the World Series trophy a hunk of metal.
Piece of metal, yes.
And just completely lost all face with Major League Baseball and his fans during this previous lockout. But he's not even the worst, because Gary Bettman might be the worst person in the history of sports. That guy ruined it. He already took a sport that was already, let's just go ahead and say it, irrelevant, and made it even more irrelevant.
Sport that you don't like, by the way. Sport that you don't care about.
Yes. Because, you know, Goodell's not as bad as we make him out to be. He's had to deal with a lot of crap since he became the commissioner off the field, with a lot of stuff that is frankly out of his control with the sexual assault and all that stuff.
I'm looking at this, and look, you're right. Silver's the best, and there's a lot of room between first and second. I think that Bettman is only second by default, because he didn't get ESPN back, and there has been an uptick in terms of hockey viewership and hockey attendance, but it's still not where it was, like you said. Manfred is incredibly bad, but Goodell, I just feel like it's almost a tie between him and Manfred being worse.
No, look,
both bad. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm saying they're both awful people.
I don't think so, because, I mean, look, Goodell has made the game safer. He's made it much more entertaining, both, you know, at the stadium or at home. There's more money in football than there's ever been. Like, he can't help the fact that some of these guys off the field are just bad people. That's not his fault. Now, is it his fault the way the league office handles those situations? But he's done a lot of good for the NFL that gets overlooked by the Adrian Petersons, the Ray Rices, the Deshaun Watsons, Deflategate, all that stuff.
I feel like there's been more off-the-field news involving that sport than I feel like the commissioner hasn't had taken a task for. The problems with baseball are all on the field, aside from, you know, the steroid stuff, which, again, we all can have that debate and conversation from now until the cows come home. I feel like the issues off the field are making the NFL really question its morality. And finally, for our five questions, best meal you didn't pay for.
any meal from Bossy Beulah's that Flounder has picked up the tab for, any meal from Chipotle that I've never paid for. My meal at the Coast 600 was pretty elite. I had some of the best garlic roasted potatoes I've ever had in my life.
So you mentioned Ole Miss earlier, and that's what got me on this question. Because I covered an Ole Miss game against Mizzou in 2007. This is before they even joined the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And they put out some of the best fried chicken that I'd ever had in my entire life. Like, it was crunchy, it was juicy, it was flavorful.
That's what she said.
It was amazing. It was some of the most amazing. And again, I've had some real great, like, down-home fried chicken in a lot of different places. But this was like... This was top level stuff.
Is the Grove everything it's cracked up to be?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes.
I feel like whenever you get done with your FC schedule, which hopefully that's not until like late November, crossing our fingers there, we got to take a road trip to an SEC town an SEC game.
It's funny you mentioned that. My bachelor party is going to be at Mizzou in November. For a football game.
Hmm.
But it's for a non-conference game. Are you saying you want to be invited?
I mean, I can give you the new Addy, and if invitation shows up, I can put in a request off here at the station, and I might just show up in the other Columbia.
You got to wear black and gold to be able to do that, though.
Okay.
All right. Your request is being put under very, very careful consideration. We will have our people call your people. How about that? That is the five questions. And again, I know that this is going to get me so much trouble because people are going to be like, oh, press box, fried chicken, that's lame. I'm telling you, you have to take my word for this. This was some of the best stuff I've ever had in my entire life. That is five questions here on Sports Radio FNZ. Our final composite draft conversation comes your way next on Sports Radio 927 FNZ.